Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz fall in overtime. Yes, overtime in a meaningless game. On a night in which the meaningful games went bizarrely wrong for us. The Jazz will play the Rockets in the first round. We'll talk about it coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. Thanks very much for their support of Postcast all season long. Get the great Mudslide cookies, the Locked On Mudslide ice cream, the great meat sections in the back, all their frozen dishes as well. Get the great feel that exists. So the Jazz tonight lost in overtime to the Clippers. The only storyline, probably George Niang played well again. Grayson Allen had 40. What did you see out of Grayson tonight?
Well, I saw very confident. He has unlimited range. I'm very surprised with some of the 30-foot three-point shots he was taking. I thought he played with a lot of confidence and just proved to us that he can play in this league.
All right. So if you missed the night, last night the Jazz needed to play. This depends what you think. If you wanted the Jazz to play Portland instead of Houston, who's the best team in the NBA in the second half of the season and since probably about February 1st, which is why you'd probably like to avoid them, and they have the MVP in James Harden, or possible MVP. The Jazz needed Oklahoma City to lose and Houston to beat Oklahoma City. And instead, while there was a 97 win probability for Houston to hold on to that win, Oklahoma City, Paul George hit a three. Portland needed to lose one of their two games. So Portland played LA last night. They were losing. The Lakers had the ball. They turned it over. Portland hit a three at the buzzer to win it. That seemed like that was the most bad luck you could possibly have. Until tonight, when Portland was down 25 at halftime to Sacramento, and for some unforsaken reason, Dave Yeager decided that Sacramento didn't need to play their starters in the second half of that game because, I don't know, they'll be ready for Summer League? And they didn't play their starters. Portland played six players all night. They played three of them 48 minutes, and they came back from 25 back to win. But that's okay, because the other scenario would be that Denver lost, and Denver was down 9 with 4 minutes left, and Minnesota decided not to score again. So the basketball gods have made a very definitive statement. We are supposed to upset the curse of James Harden in the first round and eliminate them and his style of play from basketball for the rest of the year, which I really actually think the league would hate, because we have almost no TV draws of interest in the playoffs this year other than James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the Warriors. But we're going to Houston.
You know, as we've said many, many times, 2 weeks ago we were playing Portland. We were already set. You know, there's no way in it that type of a scenario was going to happen. So you start gearing, you start preparing for the Portland Trailblazers.
There was a lot of work put in by a lot of people for the Portland Trailblazers.
It's awfully hard to start prepping and getting ready for one particular team and then something else happen. Now, the rule of thumb in broadcasting is to prepare for the unexpected. And well, we just got it.
Alex Jensen, Lamar Skeeter, and the crew, and Fotis, I think, is on that as well, have been preparing for the Rockets. And frankly, Alex Jensen, you know, had them ready to. That was Bill Walton, by the way. That sound right there you hear was Bill Walton just being Bill Walton.
Yeah.
Ralph Lawler is wrapping up his career back over there. He's got whiskey and bobblehead dolls, and he's, Brian Seaman stopped in to join them for a quick second. I wonder what they announced who's following Ralph. I hope it's Brian. They have not announced it. Oh, that would be really nice if it was Brian. He deserves it. Anyway, if he wants to, some radio guys don't want to do TV. I know who they are. So what's your thought? I mean, how do we beat Houston?
Well, you know, or how does Houston beat us? And I think that's the mindset you have to take. I know defensively, I mean, you always have your defensive schemes and things you want to take away. But you just have to think about, you know, what's it going to take for the Jazz to beat Houston? What's it going to take for Houston to beat the Jazz? You know, can the Jazz, as you mentioned earlier, and then I was thinking about this because of the number of threes that the Jazz miss against the Houston Rockets. Were they open threes or were they four? I mean, were the type of threes that the Jazz want or are accustomed to getting? If that's the case, then Houston might be in trouble because The Jazz are shooting the three very good right now.
So I have not been able to do a lot of prep on Houston, but the interesting, there's a few interesting pieces of preparation I've done. One is in the last two games against them, we took 16 and 18 corner threes. We lost both of those games, but that's the script by which we beat them.
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. If you get those and we missed them earlier, I don't think we're going to miss quite a few of them now, because I think the Jazz collectively are shooting the three very well. You know, just watching this ball game tonight, the confidence that Grayson Allen had, the confidence that Georgie Yang has shooting the three. And, you know, I think Quinn can go and dig up some, you know, well, dig up, but put some players in there in some spots where they can knock down some
threes. Here's another one that's interesting that I think would be good news for the Jazz. The 12 worst offensive games by Portland this year. Now, I'm still not over by Houston this year. The interesting one is that four of them came when Carmelo was on the team early in the season. So that screwed them. So let's eliminate those. So now we're down to their eight or so worst games. Against Utah on December 6th is the single worst offensive game Houston had all year after Carmelo. Against Milwaukee in March, who plays a defensive style that we could actually emulate because they play Brook Lopez at the rim and force you to shoot threes, and they did some interesting things on Harden. Philadelphia with Joel Embiid on January 21st, which we could generally match. San Antonio, which plays a similar style defense to us, on 11-10. Again, that was the night after Carmelo left, so they were a mess. And Utah on December 17th. So two of their worst five offensive games this year have come against the Jazz. I'm not sure that they are that excited to play us. We're certainly not excited to play them either, frankly. But we have shown an ability to slow them down in a manner that you know, is what you need to be able to beat them in a playoff series.
Well, and that was the point I was making there, that, you know, the Jazz have a pretty good system. And they have players that I think really complement what they want to do out there on the floor. And we've watched the defensive schemes that the Jazz try to put together in order to defend basketball teams. But for the most part, David, I haven't seen too many teams that have really been able – there's not too many of them in the NBA that can really keep the Jazz from scoring or getting the shots that they want. And I think that's very, very important. So when you talk about how do we beat Houston, I think one of the big things here is how's Houston beat the Jazz.
All right, I'm going to back you up because I've done this research too.
Oh, really?
The worst defensive nights that Houston allowed of shot quality. Does this make sense?
Shot quality.
So there's a stat called QSQ, which gives you the shot quality opponent. Now, it doesn't mean whether teams went in or not. And, in fact, in these cases with Utah did not make shots on these nights. But the worst shot quality night that the Houston Rockets had, where an opponent had a high shot quality, if average shots had all gone in, was against Utah on December 6th, was the worst they had all season long. The second worst was against Atlanta. The third worst was against Atlanta. We cannot emulate that. We do not have four outside shooters in Trae Young in that manner. Washington was five, which is John Wall. So we can't emulate that fast point guard that gets inside their defense and makes them collapse in the same way. But their fifth worst defensive night of shot quality was against the Jazz. And their 10th worst was against the Jazz. And their 13th worst was against the Jazz.
How about that?
The Jazz offense, despite the fact that it has not made the shots against Houston, has gotten fabulous looks against the Rockets.
And that's so important. And that's the Jazz basketball. If they get the good looks, you don't make them, you know, okay.
But we'll see if we can make them.
Yeah.
But tonight still made you go like this and pull your hair out of your head. Have a good night.